will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Sobering question. I want to talk for the next few moments about this subject, living a life of value. Living a life of value. God bless you, and you may be seated. Life, as we know, is precious. Within our judicial system, the most stringent punishments are upon those who take life. Wars are fought. Ironically, people die to preserve life for others. Not only life, but a particular way of life. Because life to us is vital and life to us is important. Oftentimes when you drive down the highways and you'll see our national flag that has been lowered and it will be flying at half mast. Our president has sent out a message across the nation that because of some life that was lost, just some precious life that was lost, all the nations called to mourning. And so it's important. Life is vital. Life is important. We measure the length of life in time, in years and in months and in weeks and days and moments and seconds. But we measure the value of life and the worth of life by its values. Amen. Not everybody lives a life of value. All life is precious. Don't get me wrong. But not everybody lives a life of value. There are people who squander life, precious as it is. There are people that take life, that precious eternal gift, and squander their days, and their life leaves little of value. And so I want to ask ourselves this question today. Are we getting a fair trade? Are we living a life of value? Are you doing something with your life that counts? Does your life have a purpose? Amen. And when you leave this world, will there be something of value that you have left behind? Life's important today. And are you living? Am I living a life of value? When we talk about values, it's what you think is important. Values can change. Values can change. The story is told of one woman that was on the Titanic, and she quickly told the man loading the lifeboat, she said, I need to quickly to go to the room and get something. He said, hurry, and you've got just a very short time. We've got to leave here. And so she ran as fast as she could back to her room. And when she came back, she went past all of her jewelry. She went past the gold and the silver and the pearls. She didn't pay any attention to any of that. And she grasped as quickly as she could the little bit of food that she could gather up in her arms. She realized that if I make it out of this alive, I've got to have food. Now, I don't worry about the gold. I don't worry about the silver. Don't worry about the pearls. They cannot keep me alive and they cannot save me. The only thing that's going to keep me going are these precious morsels that I carry in my hands. And all of a sudden, a few cents and a few dollars worth of food was worth more than all the gold and all the trinkets that she had accumulated in all of her life. That's what value is. When it comes down to the very basic core, what really matters in life and what is really important in your life and what are you living for? What are you going after? What makes you tick? What makes you walk? What makes you talk? What are you living for? There are things that are important in life. Education is important. Make no mistake. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Interestingly, a lot of our months have 31 days. Proverbs has 31 chapters. I wonder if God is perhaps suggesting that we read a chapter every day. to be wise, because it is the book of wisdom. It is the compilation of the thoughts of perhaps one of the wisest men that ever lived. His name was Solomon. But he begins his book like this. Proverbs 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so he gives us the value then of understanding and knowledge and education and wisdom. Proverbs 23 and 23 said this. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Get a hold of that, because that has value. Brother Caleb, you got any money? Brother R. Arrington, you got any money? Anybody got any money? Anybody got a dollar here? I need somebody who's got a dollar. Amen. Brother Hart, do you have a dollar? All right, good. Sister Hunt's already got one. Okay, I've got a dollar. Sister Hunt's got a dollar. Okay, I'm going to give you this dollar. And I'm going to take your dollar. Now, we didn't gain much, did we? You see, that's the value of money. If I can give you something, you give me something, and there's not much exchange. But let's say that I have an idea and I have knowledge that she doesn't have, and I give her that knowledge, and she has knowledge that I don't have, and she gives me knowledge, then I've gained something and she's gained something. So you see, that's what we mean by value. Money has less value than knowledge. And so a lot of people are after this, but they don't realize that wisdom can help you get more of this. And knowledge can help you get more of this. If you're not very smart, you're going to lose what you got. Amen. So then that's what we mean by value. It's understanding, and education is important. It's important. It's very important. I heard a story one time about a guy that God's working on a job, and the boss drove up in his air conditioned pickup, pushed the button, the window rolled down, and he walked over and he hollered at him and told him something. And one of the guys looked at the other and he said, man, he said, that ain't right. He said, we're out here digging in this dirt and hot outside. He's riding around air conditioned. What's he got that we ain't got? Somebody said, well, ask him. So the guy went over and he said, boss, I want to ask you something. He said, why is it you get to ride around in an air-conditioned pickup? We got to stand out here in this hot sun all day. He said, well, get that shovel there. He walked over to a tree and he put his hand up by the tree and he said, hit my hand. The guy swung that shovel. He moved his hand. If you've ever hit a tree with a shovel, and he said, that's why. And so the guy goes back to the group and they said, well, what did he say? He said, get that shovel there. And he said, hit my hand. Well, that's why. That's the value of wisdom. It's the value of knowledge. It's the value of education. It's important to know things. Amen. It's important to know things. Amen. And so that's important. Education is important. Although education itself, only to know, is not the right pursuit. If you're pursuing a degree, great. But why are you pursuing? What's your motive? Is it just so you can hang a sheepskin on a wall? Is it just that you can go around and proclaim yourself to have attained a certain knowledge? If that's your motive, then if arrogance is your motive, then you really haven't accomplished much. Education is a tool in your hands. It's not an altar to worship. but it's a tool to use to get things, to attain and to share and to inspire and to bless and really to minister. That's what it's all about. And so education's important. It's a valuable thing to have, and we should pursue it. I love Brother J.T. Pugh. He was one of my great heroes, and I heard him say, he was in his 80s at the time, and I heard him say this. He said, "You have heard it said that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks." He said, "But this old dog is dying to learn." Hey, man, don't ever lose that desire to know and to learn. Get it inside of you and let it burn. Amen. I want to know something every day. I want to learn something I didn't know yesterday. Amen. Praise God. It's important that we don't lose that desire to know, to learn, to be wise, to have wisdom, and to share knowledge and understanding. It's important that we do that. Amen. And so the first years of your life will be about education. First, generally in America, the first 12 years, 13 years, there will be about education, basic education. Some may carry further than that. But education begins, it's the process. And then there's occupation or profession. What is it that you do? We often say, "I can't wait to." Kids say, "I can't wait to graduate. I can't wait to get out of school." Good. Then what? It starts sinking in, doesn't it? That last year you think, "Uh-oh, what happens after this?" Hey, man, I'll tell you what happens. Work. This is boring. You think work's not boring? I got to get up every day and go to school. Well, now you got to get up every day and go to work. Hey, man. So, occupation's important. You're gonna be occupied doing something to keep your body and your soul together for the longest period of your life. If God tarries and God has mercy on you, it's going to represent the largest exchange in your life is what you do, your occupation or your profession. That's going to occupy more time in your life than any other period. So, but in your occupation, what you do, it's good. And, you know, it's important what people do. And I don't want to denigrate somebody else's job and what they do. And you know, we have what we call relative moralism. And there are people that say, well, you know, let's say you got a boat and you've got a plumber and you've got a garbage collector and you've got a lawyer and it springs a leak and somebody's got to get out of the boat. Who are you going to get rid of first? Well, you've got to understand all life's precious. We're not human doings. We're human beings. And we have a human soul. And we're created in the image of God. Whether you're a plumber or a president makes no difference. You have value. Amen. And so, but what I do with my life, somebody said it well. They said, what God gives me is his God's gift to me, my life. But what I give to God is my gift to him. What I do with my life, what are you doing with your life? Does it matter? What are you doing with it? Amen. Are you just filling the number of days? Are you just filling in slots on the calendar? Amen. Are you just getting by? Are you're doing something that you're returning something to the kingdom? Don't lose your identity. I like what the fellow said. Somebody asked him one time. He said, "Well, what are you?" He said, "I am an ordained plumber." Amen. An ordained plumber. What he was saying was this. He said, "I'm a plumber by trade. That's what I do to feed my family and keep a roof over my head." He said, "But I'll tell you, my first occupation is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to shed light and truth and hope in this world, to let people know what I have found to be true in my life and share with them the satisfaction that I have found in Jesus Christ." And that's what we've got to understand. Whatever else you do, your first calling, he said, to be a witness, right? To let other people know. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. We cannot do that from this pulpit. It's going to have to get outside these walls. When you go to Walmart, you need to preach a little bit. When you go to school, you need to preach a little bit. When you get on your job, you need to preach. What do you mean by that? I mean, let your light shine. Let people see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let this world know that there's more than just filling up days with a little wine and song. Amen. Let them know that there's purpose in life and there's meaning in life and there's joy in life. Amen. We find that in Jesus Christ. Amen. So occupation's important. It's important. It's valuable that you do something, whatever it is. Whatever it is, whatever you do. Brother Holly taught us in Bible school. He said that every man's work is a signature or an autograph of himself. If you're walking down the road and you see a big mess and somebody says, "Wonder who did that?" You don't want to say, "I did." Right? But if they walk along and they see this beautiful work of art and they say, "Whoa, that's awesome. Wonder who did that?" "I did." But everything we do is an autograph, isn't it? Amen. Brother Cody and Sister Kayla, when you go to school and you're studying, and Sister Hannah, you know what? That's an autograph. You're autographing your work. When you go on your job and you do a job for your boss, you're autographing your work. Amen. Every day, the job you do, you're putting your autograph on there and say, "I did this. Made by Johnny Grissom," whether it's a mess or a masterpiece. It's made by Johnny Grissom. Isn't that right? It's important, isn't it? It's important that we do a good job. Whatever you do, do it well. The Bible said that, didn't it? It said, whatsoever you find to do, he said, do it with all of your might. He also said, do it as unto the Lord. You cannot separate your work from your Christian identity. Mm-hmm. Amen. You cannot separate your work from your Christian identity. Whatever you do, you still are a Christian doing it, and it ought to influence the job that we do. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. Thank you for telling me that today. Amen. Praise God. Life is about relationships. Life is about relationships. Amen. Brother Pugh, again, I quote him. He said that the closest thing to heaven is a relationship, and the closest thing to hell is a bad relationship. Relationships will bring you close to God. Relationships are vital and they're important. Relationships are God's design. God designed relationships. God put us on this planet now with more than 7 billion people. Nobody is an island to himself. Nobody can live alone. Everybody's got to have somebody sometime. Everybody. It's about relationships. The life is about relationships. It starts with a family. God designed the family. Genesis 2 and 24, the Bible said the Lord took the man and put him in the garden. I'm sorry, that was about work, wasn't it? Amen. To dress it and keep it. The first job was farming, husbandry, if you will. That was the first job. Amen. I didn't mean to skip these verses, but I did. Let me read them real quick. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, Paul said this. He said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you would not work, neither should he eat." That's still a good verse, isn't it? Amen. Too lazy to work? Well, just give up eating too. Amen. Somebody said, "I can't work." Well, you get hungry enough, you probably get a little inspiration. I've heard people say, "I don't want to do that job." So what? We do a lot of things we don't want to do. Right? And if you get hungry enough, you'll do pretty much anything. Hunger's a great motivator. Amen. And if I may say this, amen. Too much welfare becomes really, it feeds ingratitude. We got too many people complaining with their mouth full. I said, we got too many people complaining with their mouth full. Amen. Praise God. If you got something, be grateful. Be grateful. Amen. We on my bus the other day, I'm guessing that some people got some stuff and you know, I found when the kids got off the bus, you know what they were doing with the peanut butter? Somebody gave them in little packets. They were throwing at one another. Thought, these kids not very hungry. You know what I did with it? I put it in my pocket and took it home. I'm going to eat it. I got values. Praise God. I like peanut butter. Amen. You don't like it? Throw it my way. Amen. Praise God. I'll show you what to do with it. Man shall not live by bread alone. He must have peanut butter. A little jelly on top helps with that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But our work's important in life. It's vital that we have our priorities straight and we understand that. It also said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, every man's work, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Amen. And if not, he said it's going to be consumed. Amen. And yet it's by fire. But he's going to be saved, but his work's going to be burned up. In other words, heaven is going to reveal the values of life. And that's only just and fair, isn't it? There are some people, you know, that thinks, well, when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be equal. No, they're not. No, they're not. And that's only just and fair. Those that serve more intensely, with greater sincerity, with greater sacrifice, deserve greater honor. Right? How many believe that today? Praise God, I believe that. God's a just God. I don't think he's going to, somebody that just kind of coasted and somehow made it, amen, he's not going to give them the same reward as somebody that gave it all they had and sacrificed and did everything. No, he's not. I don't believe that, Brother Grissom. You read the parable of the talents. Remember, he gave one 10, one 5, one 1, didn't he? And the one that just had one hid his in the ground, didn't do nothing with it. The Lord didn't say, well, you poor little thing. I understand, honey. Because you didn't have as much as everybody else, I want to give you more. That's not what he said. He said, take it away from him. And give it to who? The one that had 5? He needed it more than one that had 10, didn't he? That's our thinking. He said, oh, no. Give the ones that had 10, because he did more with what he had than anybody. Amen. Give it to him. God looks at productivity. He doesn't have pity on our self-pity. Let me say that again. God does not have pity on our self-pity. You want to have a pity party, God's not going to show up. The devil will. He'll pat you on the back. Amen. He'll tell you all kinds of lies. He'll sob with you and cry with you and nearly break your arm off, beating you on the back with it. He's sympathizing, telling you how bad it is and how you got such a rough deal in life. And everybody else has better than you. And everybody's got it easier than you. Yeah. God won't even show up. He said, uh-uh. I'm not going to show up for self-pity. Amen. But if you'll get some faith going, you'll get some faith going. You'll stir up that gift that's in you that I gave you and stop feeling sorry for yourself. He said, then I'm going to come on the scene and I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you productive. Amen. Praise God. Well, I ain't going to get through, am I? But anyway, we're going to get as far as we can. So everybody's work's going to be tried. Amen. It's important that we understand that, isn't it? Praise God. And Jesus said this, Revelation 22 and 12. He said, behold, I'll come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen. We're going to be judged according to your work. You're not going to be saved according to your work, but you're going to be judged according to your work. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. But work's still important, isn't it? Know what James said? James has been criticized. He said, you show me your faith. Without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. He said, it's my faith that makes me work, man. Praise God. I got something good here. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you what it's like. And so it's important. We're going to be tried by works. That's important that we understand that there's value to that. And it's important that we do that. Amen. And so our relationships are vital, important. Our family, after family, probably neighbors and church members and church friends. That's the next sphere that we step into. Amen. Some of the greatest friends that I've ever had and still my best friends are church friends. Amen. People that I met in the house of God that have been faithful to me all of these years. I've had neighbors. I can't remember their names. I don't know where they went. I had schoolmates I went to school with. Some of them I went to school for 8, 10, 12 years. And I can't even tell you their name today. Let me just tell you something, young people. You hear people say this to you. Oh, these school years, they're going to be the best years of your life. Oh, no, they're not. I couldn't tell you 10 people I went to school with my whole life. They don't buy my groceries. Oh, but if you'll just be popular in school, so what? Then it's over. Then you got to get a real job. Amen. Praise God. So no, that's not it. That's not your life. That's a part of life. And it's important to have friends. The Bible said you want to have friends? Be friendly. Right? You can't go with that on an attitude, ain't nobody loves me. Don't you dare try! You don't have any friends. Go around like a porcupine with your quills up all the time. I don't like nobody. Nobody likes me. Don't need nobody. Don't want nobody. Amen. Well, you don't have any friends. But be friendly. Shake hands. Have a smile on your face. You know, Christians were not created. We were not created to live the life of a monk. We're not supposed to be separated out somewhere in a monastery somewhere saying, look how holy I am. God, I'm so holy. I've separated myself from everybody and everything. That wasn't what he said, was it? He said, you be a light in the world. He said, you be salt in the world. He said, you be a witness unto me. How you going to do that stuck somewhere out in the woods? Amen. You got to get up there where the people are. Let your light shine. My brother Grissom, it's dark out there. Yeah, but you're the light. Amen. Praise God. But you know, people make fun of me. Well, that's because you're different. You stand out. Amen. Praise God. They're not going to make fun of you if you act like them, talk like them, walk like them, live like them. Then you're not going to be any different. How many have met Christians like that? Well, you know, you don't even know they're a Christian. All of a sudden you're talking one day, they've been like everybody else, cuss like everybody else, tell dirty jokes like everybody else, and all of a sudden something said, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I couldn't see any evidence. Praise God. Well, hope to the Lord that there's evidence that you are. Amen. Praise God. You need to stand out. You need to stand up, right? Because we're Christians in this world. We're supposed to be. You can't hide light in the darkness. I don't care how dark it gets. Darkness can't hide light. It reveals it. Amen. Praise God. And so thank God we're here. And that's our relationship. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Praise God. Then will our relationship someday, if God wills and it works out and you're going to have a husband or a wife, that's going to be the closest relationship that you'll ever have. I thank God for my good wife. We've been married a little over 40 years. And next to Jesus, she's the best thing ever happened to me. Amen. Praise God. And I think Jesus had a whole lot to do with putting us together. Because we prayed about it. Amen. And so it's very vital. Your husband, your wife, that's got to be number one. After Jesus, number one in your life. I mean, I can't meddle here too much, but let me just meddle a little bit. Amen. And that's what I'm saying is the scripture says that we leave, everybody say leave, and we cleave. Two things. Mom and daddy can't be greater than husband or wife. Let me say this. Kids can't be greater than husband or wife. Co-worker can't be greater than husband or wife. Preacher, pastor can't be greater than husband or wife. Nobody else in this world. You leave and you cleave. That's how you make it. If you let somebody else come between you, they'll tear you apart, whoever it is. So what happens, Brother Grissom, when we're not getting along? You work it out. Amen. You don't say, well, Daddy said, Mama said. No. This is about us. It's about, we left that. Now we're in this. That's how you work it out. Brother and sister, go there. It works, don't it? Just keep working at it. Amen. Praise God. They've been at it a long time. What is it? How many years? 63. 63 years. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. All righty. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Somebody else, sometimes said, you've been married 60 years and you never said, how'd you do it? They said, well, we never thought about divorce. He said, you didn't. He said, well, we thought about murder several times, but divorce never. So you work it out. You know, it's what you got to do. Amen. Leave and cleave. That's the first law of marriage. Leave and cleave. Amen. Leave and cleave. Amen. Praise God. And so enough about that right now, but it's vital that we do that. It's vital. It's a relationship like none other than the whole world. Amen. There's no other relationship like that relationship. And it's something God ordained and God made. Amen. And then, of course, our relationship to God. That's vital, isn't it? We're going to touch on that as we close this. Amen. Praise God. Jesus gave us these things, and I'm going to quickly run these down. First of all, he gave us the value of a right foundation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He said, if any man hear these sayings of mine doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rains descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every man that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. What he's saying is you got to build your life on the right foundation. It's a value. And what's the foundation? He said, these words of mine. In other words, he's saying, if you want a life that'll stand, build it on this. If you build on this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So this is what you build on if you want a stable foundation, because it's something that will never fail. And then he said this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. See, some people, their values about things. They know the price of things, but they know the value of nothing. Right? They know the price of things, but the value of nothing. There's a difference in a price and a value. There's things that cost a lot, but they're worth nothing. I said there's things that cost a lot, but they're worth nothing. Right? Is that not true? So Jesus said if we seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. But so many people are seeking everything else. If I can have the right car, if I can have the right house, if I can wear the right clothes, if I can go to the right party, if I can know the right people, none of those are values that matter. Amen. He said, but if I seek first the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Who wouldn't want righteousness? You like to be right. Who wouldn't want peace? Who wouldn't want joy? Where do you find that? In the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then he said, and his righteousness, the righteousness of God. If I can be right with God, if I can be right with God, I'll have peace. I'll have joy. I'll be fulfilled. Amen. But if I'm wrong with God and right with everybody else, my life will still not have meaning and I'll still be filled with turmoil and I'll not be satisfied. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. I got more stuff right now than I deserve. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I got a house that's full of stuff. And I bought a storage room and it's full of stuff. And I got a storage room up there that's full of stuff. I don't know what's in it, but it's full of stuff. So what difference does it make? If I need one, I couldn't find it. I just go buy another one. So why am I holding on to it? What difference? Isn't that right? You serve God, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. You'll have everything you need. Amen. Praise God. I'm just talking about values here today, and I'm closing with this. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. Amen. I'm going back now to what we read when we started. Amen. We started out with this, and I'm going to close with it. He said to Jesus, called the people to him, his disciples, and said to them, whosoever will come after me. He said, I need you to do three things. Number one, deny yourself. One of the hardest things in the world to do is to deny yourself. And then he said the second thing, he said, I want you to take up your cross. I want you to notice it says take up his cross, not my cross, his cross. You have a cross to bear. He bore his. He don't need you to carry his cross. He wants you to bear your cross. And then he said, follow me. Amen. And those are the three things that he said that, and this is what determines values when you do that. When you do that. And he said this, he said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And here's the thing. If you are seeking happiness in life, you're probably not going to find it. You don't find happiness by seeking happiness. I know a lot of people doing that. I'm just trying to be happy. Well, quit trying to be happy. But if you'll seek him, your creator and your savior, you seek him, happiness is as a product of that. You see, joy is fruit of the spirit, is it not? Amen. So you're not seeking happiness, you're seeking him. You seek him, you find happiness. You find fulfillment. Everything else falls in place once you find him. That's what matters. And then he said this. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Mr. Slim and Mr. Gates and company. Amen. You got a lot of money. But what good is that going to do you when you draw your last breath and your heart beats its last little blip? It'll do you no good because you're going to leave every penny behind. You may have the most lavish funeral the world's ever seen, but it's still going to be a funeral. It's still a goodbye. Amen. And after death, the Bible said, there's a judgment. After death, there's a trying by fire. Amen. Value. What's valuable? Amen. Let me do this again. I know we did this some time ago, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get real rich here today. We did ones earlier, but this time we're going to go with the big stuff. We're going with a 20 here. Okay, now this bill has a 20 on each corner, and it says $20, and it's got a picture of Mr. Jackson on there. So anybody recognize this? What's this worth? But what if I wad it up? What's it worth? What if I throw it on the ground? What's it worth? What if I step on it? What's it worth? It don't lose its value, does it? So a human being is still worth the same thing. Whether they're sitting on this church pew or they're in a skid row somewhere, they're worth the same thing. Every other person, regardless of their color or their culture or their language, is worth just as much as all of us are sitting here on these pews here this morning. Their intrinsic value doesn't change, no matter how dirty they are, no matter how much they hurt, no matter how messed up they may be. It doesn't change their value. Every soul on the face of the planet cost Jesus Christ the same thing, the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life. And he paid that willingly. And he paid it for every one of us. Without exception. He paid the same price for everybody. Brother Cody, he didn't pay more for one person than he did another. He paid the same price for every individual. For every person. That's how much it matters to him. He said, but what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you got something you can give today in exchange for your soul? No. You don't have anything. Lord, I don't have nothing. Money won't do it. My righteousness sure won't do it. My blood won't do it. So what am I going to give? There's only one thing you can give in exchange for your soul. Amen. And that's that you've got to bring the right sacrifice. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to get us in the presence of God. Jesus said it, didn't he? He said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. You want to get in the presence of God? You can only come through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Only way you can get there. Can't come any other way. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your kind attention here this morning. Amen. Values. Values. I want to live life of value. When I've drawn my last breath and my heart is beat for the last time, I want to leave something of value. Amen. I don't mean my house, and I don't mean my car, and I don't mean a bank account. I want to leave something of value. I want to leave something behind that another generation can find, and it will add value to their lives. Amen. Ma'am and sir, I want to challenge you today, young and old. If you're breathing, you have something to add. You have something to leave. You have something to offer. Amen. Praise God. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's make up our mind. I'm not just going to live out my days here, but I'm going to have some purpose in my life. And I'm going to leave behind a set of values for somebody else to see, a path for someone else to walk in. I'm going to leave some values. Praise the Lord. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to take a look right now on the inside and just do a little checking. Let's look at our values today and see how we're doing. Would you do that? Just take a little look. God, am I living too much for self and not enough for you? Am I paying too much attention to the attitude and the ideas of somebody else are not enough about what really matters? Am I serving self or am I serving you? Am I leaving something behind, that footsteps that somebody can follow that's going on the right road and headed to the right destination? Or am I leaving footprints that are going the wrong direction and leading to destruction? So let me look today and check the value of my life. You've given me life. God, I want it to be a thing of value when it's all said and done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's an altar here. And an altar is a place for correction. It's a place to come and do two things. I can either come and get things wrong and make them right, or I can just come and give thanks for what God's already done. And draw strength for tomorrow. Say, God, I may be doing all right now, but I know that just around the bend, or just a little head, there's going to be another trial. There's going to be something else. And I'm going to have the strength to do it, the grace to do it. And I'm going to need that, so give it to me now. Let me make my preparation today. Amen. Let me be prepared for tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If your life's off track, it's a good time to get back on track. Amen. He wants you to. So You're not going to be convincing God. You're not going to be having to plead with God or beg God. All you got to do is take a step and he'll join you. Amen. And he'll get it everything right here today. He'll refresh and renew and he'll strengthen and he'll bless. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.